In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, today was the fifth Sunday, really the last of the five Sundays of Lent. And then, of course, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And as David to bring out this icon. And because, as you can see, there's St. Mary of Egypt here, but there's also another saint depicted here who is St. Zosimus. And I know probably some of you are familiar with the story. But if it wasn't for St. Zosimus, we would never have heard of St. Mary of Egypt. And there's a real contrast between these two saints. St. Zosimus, at a young age, became a monk and lived a very pure and chaste life and grew up in various monasteries and, you know, stood long nights in vigil and prayer and was an exemplary monk. And Mary of Egypt, on the other hand, we'll talk about her life in a minute, was a very sinful person. But St. Zosimus actually had a question that really bothered him, sort of. You know, he kind of wondered if there was anybody that was, you know, more virtuous than he was. And this is something you kind of see in the saints. It's not so much maybe that they are being prideful, but they want to learn more. They want to go deeper. And so, in a sense, they're, you know, they look around and they see that they're probably doing more than most of the other monks around them, and so they wonder if there's somebody else that they could learn from. And in answer to his prayer, an angel actually spoke to him and told him to go in the desert, which he did. And at that time, they had this practice of the monks going into the desert during Great Lent, which is another image for us, because we kind of go into, as it were, the deserts of our hearts, you know. The desert is a place where there's not a lot of distractions. You know, if you've ever been to a desert, it's pretty dry, and there's not a lot there. There's not a lot of life, not a lot of wildlife, or things, not that much water. And so these monks had this practice of going to the desert for 40 days during Great Lent. And it was there that Elder Zosimus encountered Mary of Egypt and heard about her story. So you can put that back up. Thanks. You know, Mary, from a young age, left her home in Egypt and spent her youth in really just in pleasures and sins. And then she heard about some pilgrims who were going to set sail from Alexandria, Egypt, over to Jerusalem. And she thought this sounded like a fun time. So she went along, just continuing her sinful ways. And in Jerusalem, the feast of the Elevation of the Cross was about to take place in the Church of the Resurrection. That's the place where it's built over the site in which Christ rose from the dead. And there was a piece of the wood of the true cross of Christ that people were going to go and venerate. So she thought, you know, she would go and venerate too. She had not been to church in quite a while. And she would have been about right around 29 years old at this point. And so from the age of 12 until 29, she just lived an absolutely profligate life, did not go to church, was a very sinful person, and almost like kind of a harlot, really, although she didn't, she actually, not in the traditional sense, because she didn't receive money for her sins. She just committed these sins. She actually made money by spinning. She had a little spinning wheel kind of thing, and she would spin some wool and then sell that. But anyway, so she goes to this church, and everybody's going into the door of the church to go venerate the true cross. And when Mary tries to enter, she can't get through the door somehow. And at first she thinks it's just because she's kind of a small person and maybe just because of the big crowds. But after the crowds began to thin out, she still wasn't able to get through the door. And she tried three times. And all of a sudden she began to realize that this was, something was going on. In other words, that she was being prevented from entering the church. And this was a turning point for her, because suddenly her conscience was awakened. Suddenly she realized how sinful she had been. Look at this moment for a minute. Now, what would some people do in that case? They would go, well, I'm just going to go back out and find someplace else to go have fun, find another party to go to, or, you know, some guy to go with or something. You know, but Mary of Egypt felt within herself, I need to repent. I need to change what I'm doing. I need to stop this. I'm not worthy to enter this church. And so, yet she was really unable to get through the door by herself. So this is an image for us of prayer and of spiritual life. What do we do when we run into a place where we feel kind of dry spiritually? You know, we feel like we just can't go any further, you know. Well, we should do what Mary of Egypt did. She turned to the Mother of God. There's a big icon of the Mother of God right above the door. And she prayed to the Mother of God very fervently. She said, Mother of God, you know, I know that I've been a sinner, and but I've somehow today I've recognized my sinfulness, and so I really want to come and venerate the cross in this church. And if you will permit me, I'm going to do everything I can to change my life. And so immediately she was able to go right through the door, no problem. And she went in and venerated, and then as soon as she came out of the church after a while, she clearly heard this voice that said, go into the desert and you will find peace. So she went down to the church right by the Jordan River, and she had a few little loaves of bread, crossed over the river and went into the Jordan desert, the Transjordan desert, and lived there for about 47 years altogether. And in time, her clothes just fell into tatters and just, you know, shredded, just, you know, fell off her, really. And she just got, she had to just eat whatever little roots and herbs she could find. And it was, you know, freezing at night in the wintertime, and in the summertime it was, you know, terribly hot. And she suffered greatly. But she kind of stuck it out. She wouldn't return back to her former sinful life. And so, because of this, God, you know, helped her and really raised her up and gave her many spiritual gifts. You know, so when Elder Zosima is halfway out into the desert, I think it's, he was somewhere probably really several hundred miles into the desert. He had walked for 20 days into deep into the desert, and he suddenly saw this figure moving in the distance. And, you know, remember now, his prayer was that he would meet someone who was more further along in their spiritual life than he was. And so at first he thought maybe it was just an apparition. Maybe he's just, you know, dreaming or just, you know, hallucinating or something like that. But eventually he realized there was a person out there, and so he tried to catch up. And Elder Zosima was an old man at this point. And so he tried to catch her, but he couldn't. And finally he just called out and said, would we please stop and tell me who you are? And Mary said, well, it's not proper. She called him by name, which kind of surprised him, you know, because that she would know his name, having never met him. And she said, throw me your cloak, because, you know, I'm a woman, I don't have any clothes. And so he throws her his cloak, and she puts it on, and then she starts to speak with him. And so she tells Elder Zosima her whole story. And so at one point, Elder Zosima asked Mary of Egypt to pray for her. And she said, well, it's not proper for me, a sinner, to pray for you who are a priest and a monk. But nevertheless, you know, he persisted, and so she agreed to pray. Well, at one point he looked up, and Mary of Egypt had knelt in prayer, and she was hovering above the ground about 3 or 4 feet, you know, and saying these prayers. And she was quoting scriptures, and yet she had never been to school, never learned to read. So God had obviously, you know, opened her mind and taught her the scriptures. She knew many passages by heart. And so she asked Elder Zosima to come to her in 1 year during Great Lent to serve her Holy Communion. And so he prepared everything and went to the spot that they first met. And then he sees Mary of Egypt walking towards him, but the River Jordan is very wide, and at that time of year, it would be the springtime, probably the sort of a flood stage, and there's no way to get across. And then he was in despair. How's she going to get across this river? Mary of Egypt makes the sign of the cross over the river and walks across the water, you know, because she was so filled with God's grace that she could actually do this. So she received communion from him, and then asked him to come and meet her at the place that they had originally met in the desert by this dry creek bed 1 year later. So again, the next year, he brings the Holy Communion, makes his way out to the desert, and finds that she had reposed in the Lord. But she had written in the sand the time that she had reposed, and it was exactly the same night that he had served her communion the previous year. That means she went about 400 miles in just, you know, a short, very short span of time, which is, you know, kind of miraculous, you know. But now he's got another problem. He wants to bury her remains, and yet has no shovel. He's an old man. The ground is just baked like concrete. And all of a sudden, this huge lion walks out of the desert. And Mary of Egypt had told Zosima that she never saw any animals, never saw any people the whole time that she was in the desert. So now he's thinking to himself, great, now I'm going to die. I've come my whole life, and it's come to this. I'm just going to get eaten by this lion. You know, this is, well, oh well, let's God's will be done, you know. But then he realizes that the lion is not attacking him. The lion instead is licking Mary of Egypt's body's feet, you know, in veneration for the saint. And so Zosima says to the lion, you know, almighty lion, you know, you have great big paws, why don't you dig a grave for the saint, because I can't do it, I'm an old man. And the lion very quickly digs a pit, no problem, and then walks off into the desert. So Zosima is able to bury Mary of Egypt. And so when he returns to the monastery, he relates everything that he heard, and so we have the life of this Mary of Egypt revealed to us. And the church places her memory, and we honor her on this every year on this fifth Sunday of Great Lent. Well, there's a reason for this, really, because we've now been through the Sundays in preparation for Lent, and then all these previous four Sundays. And in a sense, the divine services of the Vespers and Matins in honor of Saint Mary of Egypt reveal how she embodies and fulfills all that has been shown to us in the entire season of Great Lent. So on the first Sunday of Lent, we celebrated the triumph of Orthodoxy in the veneration of holy icons. And it was the icon of the Mother of God that Mary turned to in prayer, which began her change from the life of sin to the saving life of repentance. And in so doing, Mary herself became a living icon for us of repentance and holiness. And on the second Sunday of Great Lent, we honored the practice of spiritual prayer and the practice of calling on the name of Christ. And so too, Mary of Egypt prayed by calling upon Christ and His Most Holy Mother for help in repenting of her sins and receiving the light of Christ. And as the third Sunday of Great Lent celebrates the adoration of the precious and life-giving cross, so Saint Mary of Egypt was strengthened by venerating the true cross, and then she herself crucified herself to the world. And as she had once been the weapon of sin, now through the cross, she overthrew all the weapons and cunning of the demons. And on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, last Sunday, we honored our Holy Father John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus. And he writes his famous book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, is a book that teaches us about the ascetic life of overcoming the passions and acquiring the virtues. And so too, obviously, Mary of Egypt chose to follow the ascetic way of life, you know, cutting down the desires of her soul and passions of her flesh with the sword, as it were, of abstinence, and choked her sinful thoughts with the silence of the ascetic life, watering all the wilderness with the streams of her tears and causing the fruits of repentance to spring up for us. And so today in the Gospel of Mark, as we read, the Lord foretells His passion, crucifixion, and resurrection. But His disciples, James and John, are only thinking about kind of earthly glory, and so they ask to sit at Christ's right hand and His left hand in the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord admonishes them that if they wish to be great, they must become the servants of all. And then we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, which is in honor of St. Mary of Egypt, we hear about the sinful woman who washes Christ's feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair and kisses His feet and anoints them with fragrant oil. And for these acts of love and sacrifice, she receives forgiveness of her sins. So we have here these two images of the very pure and chaste Saint Zosima, and we're called to also be pure and chaste and to, you know, pray and to fast and those things that Saint Zosima did to the extent that we're able to. But we also have this image of this really very bold sinner who lived a profligate life and probably, you know, more sinful than most of us even. And yet her repentance was so complete and so deep that she became even greater. So we can see how the power of repentance linked with, you know, the discipline of trying to pray and fast are both necessary components of our spiritual life. And remember, I know you probably get tired of hearing this, but remember the word repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia. And metanoia means transformation. It means a change of heart, a change of mind. And obviously we can see the transformation that took place from a sinful harlot to a great miracle-working saint. I mean, it's an incredible change. St. Paul, you know, when he was Saul, was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians and approving of that. And yet, when Christ appears to him on the road to Damascus, he's transformed. He becomes the great apostle Paul, complete 180 degrees. And this idea of repentance is what Christ is calling us to do. So brothers and sisters, let us too make an offering of our lives to Christ that he may use us and all that we have to glorify God and to serve him. And in this final week of Great Lent, let us finish the course of the fast and let us imitate St. Mary of Egypt, who also made an offering of herself to Christ through those long years in the desert. And despite her many and great sins, her struggle to repent was blessed by God, and he not only forgave her, but blessed her with many spiritual gifts and true virtues. And he will do the same with us if only we will repent and confess our sins. God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.